Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 19th of May 2014, the podcast that never puts off procrastinating. This is your host, Shane Killian, and joining me this week is Charles Thomas. Charles, welcome back to the show.
Hello, people.
So let's double the standards of the news of the bogus. And we've talked a little bit in the past about male rape victims and how unfairly they're treated in the justice system. Up until recently, the FBI didn't even acknowledge that men can be raped. They defined it as, quote, the carnal knowledge of a female forcibly and against her will. Finally, in 2012, they made it so that men can be considered victims of rape, but only in terms of forced penetration. They still don't recognize forced envelopment as rape.
But this all this changed when you look at this article on Slate.com. It really is shocking that the National Crime Victimization Survey turned up over 40,000 households about rape and sexual violence, and it comes 38% of them were incidents against men. That's really shocking.
Yeah. That is, and this is an article by Hannah Rosen. It actually came out a few weeks ago, but I wanted to hold off until we could really spend a lot of time giving it the coverage it deserves. So, contrary to what most people think, men in the U.S. are raped about as often as women, and this does not count prison rapes.
Shocking, but the men are always strong. They're always dragged into our heads women are weak, pathetic creatures that only need a man to protect them, and men are supposed to be strong, always never looking weak or what have you, and you have to hold your feelings inside and everything else.
And if you don't do that, you're socially ostracized and things like that.
Yeah. The one thing you do bring this stuff up is, oh my gosh, who cares? And men probably enjoy it or what have you. There's always something, unless it's with a child or something like that.
Well, it's interesting. If it's a child being sexually assaulted by a female grown up, it's he wanted it. But if it's a child sexually assaulted by a Catholic priest, then all of a sudden.
Yeah, that's horrible. it's everything else. Again, it's. I remember, there was a movie, Adam Sandler, That's My Boy, where they actually had him make love to his teacher, and they played it for laughs. I was like, really?
Here's a good thing to do in your mind when you see something like that. Flip the genders around.
Yeah.
And then see, however you should react, the same way regardless of which way around the genders go. If you don't, I'm sorry, there's something wrong with you.
I don't blame people who actually think this is comedy. It's just, it's programmed, Again, it's something that's been inside of the head. It's been
But then so was racism for so many generations.
True. It takes a long time, a really long time to get this type of stuff to get out of the programming.
Yeah.
And this is important because maybe we'll finally have another angle to look at this stuff just boys and boys and boys, all they want that and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's again, who are you to say what a person wants or not want?
Exactly. So Laura Stemple of the Health and Human Rights Project at UCLA called the Bureau of Justice Statistics to figure out what was going on when she saw this, and it turns out it was a mistake. It wasn't an anomaly in the data. It's a true figure. But they didn't have an explanation for why, so she started digging through the statistics herself, and she found that we need to, quote, completely rethink our assumptions about sexual victimization. And she also found that the difference in sexual victimization between men and women is, quote, a lot closer than any of us would expect.
Yeah. She's actually a long-time feminist, and she says that, feminism has fought long and hard to fight the rape myths. It's the woman rapes, and so we're... It's somehow her fault or what have you. I mean, it used to be that she wanted it. Hey.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they fought against in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. She really wanted it, that kind of thing. Well, that's exactly the same thing they're saying about male rape victims.
Yeah, and it's a hypocrisy. I mean, you can't have it both ways. It is a horrible crime, and it just seems it's wrong. but yet no one talks about these sides. They said, oh, well, all boys want it. It's just, it's a blanket statement, and that's wrong. Blanket statements are never a good thing. We're all individuals, and we don't know how to react or anything. I mean, heck, even people who are not religious to say, you know, I don't want to have sex, what have you. Should they not count? Should they, like, oh, to be all the same thing? It's, you know, we're not all the same.
Right. So she quotes screenwriter and novelist Rafael Iglesias, who said, quote, I used to say when some part of me was still ashamed of what had been done to me that I was molested because the man who played skillfully with my 8-year-old penis, who put it in his mouth, who put his lips on mine and tried to push his tongue in as deep as it would go, did not anally rape me. Instead of delineating what he had done, I chose molestation, hoping that would convey what had happened to me. Of course, it didn't. For listeners to appreciate and understand what I had endured, I needed to risk that they will gag or rush out of the room. I needed to be particular and clear as to the details so that when I say I was raped, people will understand what I truly mean.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. You have to show the horrible and nastiness of it. And again, when you have Hollywood people just like say, you know, oh, you know, the guys wanted it, you know.
Yeah, but Hollywood's just a reflection of what society thinks.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, look at all those movies from, you know, the 50s or whatever. Everybody is smoking. Go to the movies now, see how many people are smoking. Not many.
Yeah. I mean, it's more socially acceptable to actually snort cocaine for a woman's bottom and everything else than smoking.
Yeah. So Stemple's new paper is The Sexual Victimization of Men in America, New Data Challenge Old Assumptions. So here, she considers all forced sexual contact as rape, including, unlike the FBI, forced envelopment, which includes forcing a man to penetrate something with his erection. And the phrase is made to penetrate, as opposed to forced penetration, which is where a victim has an object forcibly inserted somewhere. And she and her co-author, Ilan Meyer, found out that once you include made to penetrate in the definition of rape, the rates of sexual assault become basically the same. 1.270 million women and 1.267 million men were victims of sexual violence.
That's insane.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, these men are probably ostracized probably by people that are close to them. And they don't talk. They don't say anything.
And the few ones that are brave enough to do step forward are basically laughed out of the courtrooms.
Yeah. God forbid if a man comes trying to come forward and says something like that. People who, you know, who say, oh, 15-year-old, 16-year-old boys getting sexually assaulted by 33-year-olds, that's like, oh, they want it anyway. I'm like, have they people have lost their minds?
If they didn't want it, they didn't want it. I mean, that's just all there is to it. So what Rosen says is, quote, we might assume, for example, that if a man has an erection, he must want sex, especially because we assume men are sexually insatiable. But imagine if the same were said about women. The mere presence of physiological symptoms associated with arousal does not, in fact, indicate actual arousal, much less willing participation. And the high degree of depression and dysfunction among male victims of sexual abuse backs this up. At the very least, the phrase remedies an obvious injustice, and that's the phrase made to penetrate. Under the old FBI definition, what happened to Rafael Iglesias would only have counted as rape if he'd been an 8-year-old girl. Accepting the term made to penetrate helps us understand that trauma comes in all forms.
Yeah, instead of everyone else's making fun of them, you know, comedians and everything else, we have to be serious about this.
And when people do take it seriously, they think, oh, it's a man who was raped by another man. But as it turns out, 46% of male victims were assaulted by a female.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, well, see, I remember, it's kind of changed in the whole time I've been alive. I remember the days of women's lib, when it was all empowerment, and women can do anything men can do. So if we take that to its logical conclusion, that means that women can also commit rape and other acts of violence. But now, with modern feminism, they've kind of gone the other way, and women are these weak little victims that we have to help and things like that, and they're incapable of doing things like rape and That really does a disservice to women. And before I get hate emails, I'm not saying all feminists are like this. The good ones are. But there are plenty of them out there who are very vocal who say exactly that.
Yeah. And again, if you can't handle criticism, I mean, if it is happening any rank or have, you have to speak up and say, hey, maybe these, maybe we should be, you know, be more, take some criticism and see how we can make this better. Because at the end of the day, the reason why feminists or all these other rights groups exist is to help push better rights for everybody. I mean, at the end of the day, that's the end goal, is to make sure to recognize that, you know, we're all human beings and get everyone on that same boat. We need people to be as equality and freedom for every person. And that's what we should be striving for.
Yeah. So, again, all of these statistics do not include prison rapes. They looked at prison rapes. And again, you know, people think, oh, prison rape, that's a guy being raped by another inmate. Stemple and Meyer go into this in their paper, and again, pretty much everything people think just isn't true. Women inmates are more likely to be abused by their fellow inmates, who are women, than guards, because usually what you see on the TV is the male guard raping the female inmate.
Yep.
Men are more likely to be abused by guards than their former inmates, and many of those guards were female.
Wow.
And in the case of juveniles, 89% of victims were boys abused by a female staff member.
Positions of power.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the problem right there. It's a position of power.
Well, look at the Stanford prison experiment. That's how easily it can happen and how quickly. And that wasn't even a real prison.
And not even getting the fact that, you know, people, regardless of like a female or male, you know, think they deserve that type of treatment, you know.
Right.
That sort of thing, but that's another subject.
That would be cruel and unusual punishment, I would think.
Yeah, but
you know, earlier you gave the statistic of 40,000, and it's like, wow, that's a lot. In prisons, all total, 900,000 inmates were abused.
Wow. And, you know, and no one talks about that, you know. No one, I mean, you know, there's pockets of this stuff here on the internet and everything else. But you don't see the major news organizations talking about this stuff.
Yeah, this deserves to be disseminated far and wide.
Yeah.
And we need more pressure put on the FBI and on state and local law enforcement to recognize this and actually start to get some real justice for these victims.
Yes, of all sexes. They need to have more. There should be justice. There should be justice. Even if they serve in prison, what have you, it is wrong to take advantage of people who are trying to. Eventually, these people are going to get out of prison, though, right? I mean, they're going to have to become regular citizens. I mean, how long is the punishment going to last?
Well, I mean, rape gives you these lifelong psychological difficulties. So, yeah, in a sense, it's like you're being punished for life. It's a life sentence.
Yeah. It would be nice to say someone in any major media to at least look at it. At least a little crawl on there. That's what I hope for. Something fun to crawl.
Hackers, terrorists, the NSA. But I repeat myself. Your online security is under attack, and the weakest point is your password. That's why you need LastPass. LastPass plugs into your browser and allows you to randomly generate strong, unique passwords anywhere on the web, all protected by one master password. LastPass sets up in minutes and gives you secure automatic logins throughout the web, synchronizing across all your browsers and all your computers, at home, at work, or on the road. It even securely stores sensitive form data, including credit card numbers. Back up sensitive documents, membership info, Wi-Fi logins, and more. And with LastPass Premium, you can get these benefits on other applications and even mobile devices, and also get priority customer support. Sign up at password.pagosity.tv for a free month of LastPass Premium. Log in securely everywhere using the last password you'll ever have to remember. Go to password.pagosity.tv and get LastPass now. You know why we can't have free market police?
Well, because everyone would, you know, take advantage of it and be evil people. But like,
they'd be pulling people over for no reason, with no accountability and no real way to stop them. Thankfully, we have government police who are sworn to uphold the Constitution and have the courts to keep them in line when they violate it. Right?
Yes.
Well, maybe not. The 10th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled in USA versus Cindy Lee Westhoven the police can lawfully pull you over for, get this, driving innocently. That includes having your hands at 10 and 2 on the wheel, the way most of us were taught, having good posture, taking a scenic route, and even having acne.
Well, I'm screwed. Then again, I'm black, so I'm they're probably a double up for me.
Well, yeah, you're used to it. Suck it up. No, I do not mean that. I do not mean that. It's awful.
I understand.
I've seen it happen to friends of mine. It is awful. Yeah,
it is. It's terrible. But again, you know, it's just not surprisingly. Again, power. It's all about power. And people, like, you know, are surprised by this. They're like, oh, we're not living in police state. You know, they think police state is people are marching in and ordered and uniforms and then beating up people or locking them up in, like, Nazi camps or whatever. That's what they think a police state is. And the thing is, that's the end goal. That's the end.
Yeah, and once you get to the point where they're marching in the street in jack boots, it's too late.
Yeah.
It's too late by that point. You got to stop them before they get to that point.
Yeah.
So what happened was, Westhoven was driving in Arizona, apparently at a town near the border, when a U.S. Border Patrol agent pulled her over. And you basically know the lyrics. She stepped out of her car. They brought the canine over. Canine sniffed, alerted them. They searched her car, and they found marijuana. So another dangerous person off the streets, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she was indicted with possession of marijuana with intent to distribute. And she tried to get the results of the search suppressed on constitutional grounds because apparently the only reason she was pulled over is that the road she was on is used by a lot of people smuggling drugs and immigrants.
Well, of course, hey, blanket statements. Because, hey, that's the only thing you can do in the criminals. Because you can't just judge people like, you know, actually do actual police work. No, it's just it's easier just to say, well, they're driving on the same road, so instantly guilty.
Yep. And this is what the court ruling said, quote, as Ms. Westhoven drove past him, Agent Simmerling noticed she had a stiff posture and her arms were straight and locked out at a 10 and 2 position on the steering wheel. I mean, such a horrible person she is.
Yes.
He also noticed that the truck had an Arizona license plate and dark tinted windows. Of course, it's the desert. Lots of people have tinted windows to keep their cars from becoming an oven, and it's completely legal. There's no law against that.
Yet.
Although, I think some states do restrict it, though.
I think it's Maryland. I think there is something right there in Maryland. I need to check, but okay. I do see tinted windows around here, but not that much.
Yeah. Although Ms. Westhoven did not appear to be speeding, Agent Simmerling decided to turn around to follow her and run a registration check. Agent Simmerling learned the truck was from Tucson, Arizona. Because Highway 80 is not a direct route to Tucson, he became suspicious that Ms. Westhoven was involved in alien or drug smuggling. So basically she was going on a highway that led her somewhere other than home. And
oh dear.
That's apparently enough reason.
Oh dear, we have to arrest this person because, by gosh, you might get home quicker.
Agent Simmerling then turned on his patrol car lights to pull her over. When he approached the driver's side of the truck, Agent Simmerling noticed Ms. Westhoven appeared to have scarring and acne on her right cheek, indicating to him that she might be a methamphetamine user.
Oh, of course. I mean,
yeah, that's the first thing you think of when you see acne. You go to the schools, look at all those kids with acne. Wow, there must be a whole lot of meth in that school.
Of course.
No. Let's talk likelihood ratio here. And likelihood ratio is the chance that we would see what was observed if the hypothesis were true, divided by the chance that we would still see it if the hypothesis were false. So with the acne thing, if someone's a meth user, yeah, they might well have acne. But lots of people have acne without being meth users, and since they far outnumber the meth users, it's actually a likelihood ratio of less than 1, which actually drops the priors.
Exactly. Again, it's just assumptions. Maybe this person watched too much Breaking Bad or what have you, but again.
I don't know. But I think it's just the thing. People only use the numerator of the likelihood ratio, and they forget or either didn't know about that all-important denominator, you know, the false positives. And this is just rampant through law enforcement and criminal justice where our very freedoms are at stake.
And no one seems to know this. They wait to that last minute, Shane. They wait to that last minute, then we could do something. No, you do something now when the things are about to pop. You don't wait till things are about to pop off. And when you have a court Just saying you could just be innocent, you could just stop you just from behaving innocently, doing the right thing. What's stopping them from just saying, you know, playing drugs or what have you?
Yeah. Well, listen to this. Quote, he testified her answers also made him suspicious because Tucson had better shopping opportunities than Douglas.
Oh, dear.
And driving on Highway 80 through New Mexico to go from Douglas to Tucson would add approximately 100 miles to the trip. He also noticed that she had two cell phones, common for people engaged in illegal activity in the area.
Wow.
Yeah, it's also common for people with a business and a personal line.
Jeez, Louise. Well, again, you know, my sister has two phone lines and what have you. She's not a huge Cublovian drug lord. It's business and personal, like you said. It's bad police work. When you have this stuff right here, people are still waiting. Well, you know, if you're not doing anything illegally, you have nothing to hide. No.
That's when you have to worry.
Yeah.
Well, the court found, quote, one, there was reasonable suspicion of criminal activity sufficient to stop her. Now, remember, at that time, the only thing he had was Tucson license plate. Two, the continuation of her investigative detention to conduct the canine sniff was based on reasonable suspicion. And three, Ms. Westhoven was not arrested until after the agents discovered marijuana in her vehicle. Also, I guess that makes it all okay, right?
Mm.
So they also said, quote, we look at these factors as part of the totality of the circumstances. The whole picture must be taken into account. Based upon that whole picture, the detaining officers must have a particularized and objective basis for suspecting the particular person stopped of criminal activity. Although the factors in isolation may be consistent with innocent travel, taken together, they may amount to reasonable suspicion. Officers and agents are entitled to make an assessment of the situation in light of their specialized training and familiarity with the customs of the area's inhabitants. Reasonable suspicion need not rise to the level required for probable cause, and it falls considerably short of satisfying a preponderance of the evidence standard. Yeah, and apparently it also doesn't need to rise to any actual evidence of wrongdoing whatsoever.
I just can't wait for people to defend this and say this, like, you know, as long as the cop finds something, then it's not bad. No, I want the cop to actually find some good police work, not just randomly pick people off on the road and say, well, they're doing a drug driving and two phones in the car. Drug dealer. How many people, you know, go out all the way to go shopping? And are you saying that you have to shop in a town when or else I'm going to be arrested? What sense does this make?
Well, and maybe she wanted something in a specialty shop that they only had in that one town. I know several times now I've taken my fiance up to Mooresville, you know, which is quite a bit of the way up the road, just because there was something up there that she couldn't get anywhere around here. That happens all the time. Who are the policemen to say that makes you suspicious?
Yeah, I did the same thing. You know, I went to some places to get certain items and went on sale or what have you. I go to the place and get them, you know.
Well, the very best that you can say about this is that a person who is guilty will want to behave like someone who's innocent. But the only ones who are going to be successful at doing that are the ones who behave absolutely perfectly innocently, and that's not going to be all of them. It's just going to be the ones where the guilty person doesn't make a mistake. So even in the best case scenario, if all of the guilty people are absolutely perfect and don't make any mistakes, and they're always acting perfectly innocently all the time, that makes the likelihood ratio 1, and you can't conclude anything from that behavior. And in reality, since a lot of suspicious people are going to act suspiciously, the likelihood ratio ends up being much less than 1. And by far, the majority of the people who behave innocently are, in fact, innocent. I mean, does this not cross their minds?
Again, just people, they just take the easy way out instead of, like, you know, actually really thinking about it and saying, okay, we need to make sure this person is doing these horrible type of things, drug dealing, not doing the same thing like this. When you have a court doing this type, setting this type of precedent, I guarantee you this, Shane, it's going to have a really nasty fallout. Something's going to be really happen. It's going to come back and it's going to be like, holy crap, you know, someone might actually get really hurt by this. And the sad part is, the only thing that actually registers with people when things people get hurt or killed.
But it's also the fact that you can't have every possible outcome confirm your hypothesis. If a person is behaving guilty, they must be guilty. If a person is behaving innocently, they must be guilty. So, effectively, according to this federal court, they can pull you over anytime they want, for any reason they want.
And that is just scary.
You say you don't like Bitcoin? Why not? Oh, because it's not gold. No problem. Just go to coins.pagosity.tv and you'll be taken to Coinable, where you can buy gold or silver coins or bars with your bitcoins, with literally up-to-the-minute spot pricing. Now there's no reason not to jump on the Bitcoin bandwagon. Whether you're a Bitcoin miner, service operator, Bitcoin business owner, or market speculator, you can get gold and silver from reputable dealers. And Coinable has Bitcoin liquidity for fast processing of your order. Coinable even utilizes a special shipping infrastructure to ensure that your investment arrives safely at your door. And you know what? By going to coins.pagosity.tv, you won't pay a penny more, excuse me, a Satoshi more for your purchase. But you'll help this podcast. You can even sell your gold and silver for Bitcoin as well. Coinable is your Bitcoin to gold marketplace. So go to coins.pagosity.tv and start turning your Bitcoins into gold now. All right, well, more cops behaving badly. And you've all heard me say time after time that I'll only cover cops behaving badly when it's an extreme. And the problem is they just keep getting more and more extreme. And now, a teenager is dead because police officers shoved a sharp object into his throat to try to retrieve drugs.
That's just horrible.
It's unbelievable. It's beyond horrible. It's just, what were they thinking?
They weren't thinking at all.
Just on that power trip, I guess.
It is. It's just, I don't know how you can hide something in your throat. Unless he swallowed it and stuck in his esophagus.
Well, that's what they said. They said he had swallowed it.
And then they cut it open and, oh, there's nothing in here. Oops.
They didn't find anything. Yeah, and the teen's mother has filed a federal lawsuit claiming assault and battery, wrongful death, and excessive force. And this was after the Alabama Department of Forensic Sciences ruled that the cause of his death was undetermined, but only because they couldn't tell which injury or combination of injuries inflicted by the police, which included blunt force injuries and anoxic hypoxic ischemic encephalopathy, were actually responsible. He had broken ribs, he had numerous bruises, he went into cardiac arrest, and his brain had been deprived of oxygen.
And I guarantee you this, I bet you this, that the cops who did this were only sent on leave, not fired, not put in jail.
Yeah. So what happened was, an officer had come up to the teen without identifying himself as a police officer, and apparently he'd been fingered by a CI. So whatever happened, the teen ran, the officer chased him, threw him to the ground, and handcuffed him. And at some point, the beatings the police gave him blunt force traumas. They held him down so he couldn't move. He started to choke. He had trouble breathing, and he started losing consciousness. The police had told the paramedics that he had swallowed drugs, so they had to shove a sharp object down his throat to get them out. But again, the autopsy confirms there were no drugs or any other unusual items found in his body.
Abuse of power.
And they can get away with it. They don't have any incentive not to do it. They know they won't be punished.
And on top of that, I think, Hawkeye said this a couple podcasts ago, is that even if you sue them, all you're doing is suing the city, and that's the taxes value. You're not taking money from them. You're just taking money away from the people.
You can try to name them individually, but they'll probably get out with sovereign immunity.
Yeah, and for example, the horrible beatdown that a homeless person had in California. Was it Kelly Thomas?
That sounds right.
Who was beaten down. Was shown to be beaten down on video.
Yeah.
100% proof. And they told him, you see these fists? They're going to F you up. They showed this. And yet, not guilty.
Yeah.
It blows my mind.
I don't get that. I keep looking. That's one of the stories I keep looking at every now and then because I want to see one of the jurors you know, start talking publicly about what they were thinking, and haven't seen anything so far. But back to this case, according to City Attorney Peter Joffrion, quote, "It's very unfortunate that he died, but I have full confidence the police officers responding on the scene handled this matter appropriately."
Of course they did. There is no accountability. There's no real consequences, because at the end of the day, all you can do is just, again, sue, but they're still going to be on the streets. There's still people who, I mean, there are lots of good cops out there, and we have to stress that out, to do good police work, to do everything else, and risk their lives. But when you hear stories like this, and you wonder why people have a less tolerance for police. But when police have no consequences, there's no one out there, then this stuff just keeps happening over and over and over again. No, nothing to Gacy arrest these people. You can't even arrest them. This should be arrestable. Those cops should be in jail. Another victory, another thing for the drug war, another body on the pile.
Yep. Who'll notice one more by this point? Bogosity.tv is a participant in the Amazon Services LLC Associates Program, an affiliate advertising program designed to provide the means for sites to earn advertising fees by advertising and linking to Amazon.com. Just clear your cookies and go to Amazon.bogosity.tv, or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for Amazon's best deals, including the deal of the day and limited-time lightning deals on all sorts of great products. So next time you buy online, go to Amazon.bogosity.tv. History is written by the winners, and so apparently is economics. That's why there's Liberty Classroom. Probably the best single learning resource for history and economics on the web, Liberty Classroom teaches U.S. history, Western Civ, and economics from actual university professors. There's lots of free material to get you started, including introductory lectures on all these subjects. And when you sign up, you'll get the full site's content for just $99 a year, less than the price of 2 cups of coffee a month. And if you type in the promo code Bogosity in all caps, you'll get your first year for just $88. Lectures are available in both video and audio format, so you can watch or listen to them on your computer, your phone or tablet, or in your car. Learn at your own pace about the subjects you're interested in and become a more effective debater. You'll also get access to lots of supplemental materials and even the professors themselves via the discussion forum and even live video chats. Inform yourself against the myths and propaganda of our society. Visit LibertyClassroom.com. And now it's time to demolish the rear end of this week's biggest bogon emitter. Tanya Weicker was a 25-year-old woman that had never had so much as a speeding ticket, at least until this week's winner, Milwaukee County Deputy Joseph Quiles, ran a stop sign and T-boned her car, which subsequently spun into a tree. Quiles then arrested her for DUI.
Of course. I mean, because she was the innocent victim, and her car was in the way.
Yep. It was in the way of where a police car was going, so it's her fault.
Exactly.
Weicker's neck was broken in 4 places, but that didn't stop the police from questioning her. And while they questioned her, they noticed that her speech was slurred and her eyes were red and glassy. So, of course, it must have been because she was drunk and not because she just had her neck broken in 4 places in a traffic accident.
Of course. I mean, heck, she could have been taking 4 or 5 drinks of malt liquor while the accident was occurring.
Yeah, so she was arrested for DUI and drunk driving causing injury, actually a total of 5 separate charges. Quiles, in his report, claimed that he had stopped at the stop sign and then pulled out, but an airport surveillance camera caught the whole thing. It shows his car rolling right past the stop sign without stopping and crashing right into the side of Weicker's car. And by the way, the sheriff's office knew about this video just 2 days after the crash. They didn't tell Weicker, and they continued to blame her for the crash, even though they were in possession of the video evidence that proved she wasn't.
Gotta protect their own, Shane. They have to protect their own.
Oh, yeah, that thin blue line, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Justice for them, not for everybody.
And, of course, hospitals always do a talk screen, I think. It's pretty much routine now for patients in car accidents and whatever. So do I need to say it again? She wasn't drunk. She had no drugs in her system. And according to her mother, when she arrived at the hospital to see her daughter, quote, "She was in traction and just sitting there. She was crying and said they accused her, They arrested her and accused her of something she didn't do. And this took months to be sorted out. It should have been over in 2 days as soon as they got the video. But nope, months.
It's just, I don't know what to say here. This, if anyone else would have done this, if me and you would have done this, we'd be locked up.
Oh, yeah.
And are there any, charges or anything else? The best they could do is civil. But again, all they're doing is just robbing, basically taking taxpayers' money.
Well, no, not only that, they are suing that her medical bills could be over $1 million. State law caps all claims against government agencies at $250,000.
Oh, yeah.
So there's no way she can recoup that money. And the county has finally agreed that Quiles caused the accident, and they punished him by suspending him for 9 days.
Oh, wow.
And that suspension is pretty much irrelevant since Quiles was injured in the accident, too. Apparently, he hasn't worked since then, and he's filed for permanent duty disability. So he could keep getting paychecks for the rest of his life on the taxpayer dime because of an accident he caused.
Yeah, and not and on top of that, the cherry on this sundae is that he goes away not even jail. He's not going to jail at all. While this 25-year-old woman is going to be we don't know how long the injuries will last her, how many chronic neck pain she's going to have to for the rest of her life, and not on top of that, she's going to pay $700,000 in medical bills. If she could win the lawsuit?
Yeah. Well, a lot of those, when you have a lawsuit that's capped like this, or when it's a case where it's obvious that the person won't be able to pay it, a lot of times they'll settle for pennies on the dollar. But all that does is just make healthcare more expensive for everyone else. But, we talked about that before, how hospitals jack up their prices because they know this is going to happen. So, it's just part of the problem.
It just exposes the wrongness of the system. The system we have is broken, and no one wants to talk about it because it might be too uncomfortable or, some egos might get hurt. No. If a system is broken or needs to be in repair, then you go and fix it. Heck, you know what? The best job opportunities is either to be a cop or a lobbyist. Because then you can actually, or a congressman, so you can actually just get paid and never, ever, get any type of consequences, no comeuppance for what you did and everything. It's how did we get here?
So after all that, who else other than Deputy Joseph Quiles were we going to name for this week's biggest bogon emitter?
Well deserved.
Bogosity.tv and all of its services are hosted at GoDaddy. I've been a satisfied GoDaddy customer for over 10 years now. Their prices are great, and their 24/7 support is second to none, so I'm happy to be able to give you this special offer. Just sign up for any new domain, web hosting, email, or many other services, and get 35% off by typing in the code WOWNOBOGON. That's WOWNOBOGON. Because there's nothing bogus about these savings on quality internet service. Get your own .com with a personalized email address or establish your online business in a snap, all for 35% off. Get great savings on quality internet services. Just go to GoDaddy.com and use the code WOWNOBOGON. And now it's time to stimulate the depression of this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
And this week, Matthew Iglesias takes it a second time for his article claiming that tax hikes grow the economy. He receives it along with Benjamin Lockwood, Charles Nathanson, and Glenn Weil for their paper, Taxation and the Allocation of Talent, which Iglesias bases his entire article on.
Oh, well, of course it does. It's not like the government has to, spend within their means, what have you. We have to keep paying more money to this big monster so it can finally do everything we ever wanted.
But that's not even their argument. Here's their argument. I'm reading this directly. This is a quote. Low taxes lead people to waste their lives on money making.
What? I'm reading this too. That makes no sense. low taxes so people can be free to do whatever they want, regardless of what they do. I mean,
if you're taxed more highly, that makes you waste more of your life working, because now you have to work more to make the same amount of money to make up for the part that was taken in taxes.
Yeah, so I think if you have less taxes, people are like, okay, I don't have to pay as much. They might relax. They're like, hey, I can do other things. I'm not making money, you know, do other stuff. It's just, it is.
But their idea is, this is a quote, a high school English teacher can probably take longer vacations than a partner at corporate law firms, but the lawyer gets paid more and can take fancier vacations. A research scientist may attract more praise from the community than the designer of high-frequency trading algorithms, but the trader can buy a gorgeous loft in Manhattan. Raising taxes on the rich reduces the relative size of those financial rewards.
So, okay, you're successful. You can do whatever you want and everything, but no, we have to put your pay scale all the way down to an English teacher so they can feel better about themselves. I just don't get that. And I know.
Well, and it's government passing moral judgment on different jobs. This job is more moral or more fulfilling or whatever than job B, so we'll have to really tax people who work at job B to encourage more of them to start doing job A. I mean, that seems to be what they're thinking.
And that doesn't work like that. When you start taxing people on job B, you know, that's not going to equally help people on job A. It's not going to equally help them out. I mean, they're still going to be paying the same type of taxes for that. What these people don't understand is that once you raise taxes on the rich, the super rich or what have you, they raise their stuff on the middle class or whatever. That's, the taxes will always go up on the middle class people. Well, who, I don't know. Is the middle class still around, Shane? Because last time I looked at it, it's basically on it's in a coma, what I'd say. It's a medically induced coma.
Yeah, well, I don't know. They screw around with the economic statistics so much, I don't know how you can tell.
Well, I know I'm screwed, but I realize that, you know, thank you, baby boomers, for that.
Yep.
But it just doesn't work. All these high taxes, it makes you feel good, but without doing good.
Yeah. Well, and he plays the society card, quote, jobs differ in the extent to which success helps others. Major scientific breakthroughs help a scientist advance her career, but are also broadly beneficial to society. A great teacher may impact a smaller circle of people, but is still helping many people besides herself. By contrast, lawyers and traders seem to largely compete with each other in zero-sum games. It's not zero-sum. People get over it. If high taxes push talented people into careers where their work helps others, they could raise the growth rate and increase human welfare completely apart from revenues.
We have to push people into careers. Like, it's force. Like, we have to force people to do this type of job so we can benefit for society. That's communism. And that doesn't work. I know people say, well, you know, just gotta do this. No, it doesn't work. You can't force morale. You can't force people to be good natured and everything. You can't do that. It has to be from within and natural. And besides, who do people say that, oh, lawyers and traders or any type of job that has a huge bank account say they can't do anything for the public good? I mean, there are so many people. I mean, Bill Gates. Bill Gates has done so much good for children with malaria and Africa.
Oh, absolutely.
And other people who have done great stuff.
His operating system's crap, but his foundation's good.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. People need to realize just because they make people who are, you know, make a lot of money doesn't mean they're all heartless and evil and all this other stuff. They're people who do good things, and raising higher taxes, it's not going to honestly say, well, you know, this job will make me, is highly taxed. You know, I have to go with this one. And by the way, they only think this is the short term. What happens to the long term where everyone goes to these other careers and there's not anyone else to pay for those higher taxes anymore?
And then the people who are left just have that much more of an incentive to put their money into tax shelters and places like that. I mean, they're not going to get the new revenues anyway.
So what's the solution there? It's a short-term solution. And in fact, it's not even a short-term solution.
It just means that the people who do go into finance are the ones who are corrupt enough to do that. And, yeah, that's all we need, more corrupt people in finance.
bad. It doesn't end well for anyone who actually, to do these things. The heart, the good intentions are there. And they want to say, okay, if we tax these people, maybe, you know, they can actually use the money to stimulate the economy and help the people. But it's, when it's practiced, it doesn't work. And people just can't accept that.
And all of that is why this ridiculous notion makes all of these guys this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
Well, that wraps up this Out the Door, Line on the Left, One Cross Each edition of the Bogosity Podcast. Please visit the forums at Bogosity.tv, where you can read the show notes and join the discussion on these and other subjects. This podcast is free but not free to produce, so please donate via PayPal or Bitcoin at the top of the Bogosity.tv website or down the right-hand side of the podcast page and give generously to keep this podcast going. And if you'd like to contribute to the podcast, just send a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@bogosity.tv. Put it in an audio file, and if it's good enough, it'll get played right in the podcast. Thank you for listening, and thanks again to Charles Thomas for joining me.
Anytime, Shane.
Until next time, here's a quote from Sarah Grimke. I know nothing of man's rights or woman's rights. Human rights are all that I recognize. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution on Commercial Notarist 3.0 Imported License.
Bogosity.
Do you want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly, with actual peer-reviewed sources to back you up? My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not, based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. Get How Evolution is Scientific and never be taken in by creationists again.
My sister have two phone lines and what have you. She's not a
By the way, just so you know, we've gotten complaints about the what have yous, you keep saying.
Ah, crap.
I don't know if you realize how often you say it. That's how those filler phrases get, so you might just want to watch that.
Yeah, I need to stop that.
Yeah.